If you have your Bibles with you, turn open to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. For some reason, it's been a habit of mine on Wednesday nights, the past three times I've spoken, to do something in Revelation, so just might as well just keep it up. So the book of Revelation chapter 5. And we're only going to be covering verses 8 through 11, or 8 through 10, actually. 8 through 10. But the whole chapter is just so beautiful. We're just going to read the whole chapter. Revelation chapter 5 reads, "And I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a great voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loosen its seals?' And no one was able in heaven or on earth or under the earth to open the scroll or to look into it. And I cried greatly because no one worthy was found to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders was saying to me, 'Do not cry. Behold, a lion, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered to open the scroll and its seals.' And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing as slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. And he came, and he received from the right hand of the one seated on the throne. And that when he received the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to receive the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and you have purchased a people for God by your blood, from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth.' And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and of the living creatures and of the elders. And their number was myriad of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a great voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them,' which I heard them saying, 'To the one who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures were saying, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." This is the word of the Lord. Would you please pray with me? Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this time we have together. Pray that you would bless it. Give us understanding from your word. In this text, in Jesus' name, amen. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? These are the words, some of the lyrics to the song "Is He Worthy" by Andrew Peterson, which we actually sometimes sing in church. And this song is all about asking and answering whether Jesus is worthy. Is Jesus worthy of worship? Is he worthy of honor? Is he worthy of glory? Is he worthy of all of what we ascribe to him? And while for Christians, the questions of this song are a beautiful way to rhetorically communicate to us that yes, indeed, he is worthy, and we can worship in that, and we can glorify in that, and all of these things, for some, maybe some of you in this room have experienced this, but some are genuinely asking that question. Many in our world are genuinely asking that question, is Jesus really worthy? Is Jesus really worthy of all the worship and praise that Christians give him? Are Christians right to render Jesus blessing and honor as God? Are they right to ascribe to Jesus the worth of the eternal Lord himself? We live in a world full of people asking those questions and even answering them negatively, that Jesus, no, is not worthy of all that. So is Jesus worthy? Having a proper answer to that question is not only vital for being able to answer the questions of our critics, but the answer to that question is also for the Christian fundamental, maybe perhaps the most fundamental answer to the Christian life. The most fundamental thing that, right, the reason that we do what we do, answering whether Jesus is worthy is foundational to the entirety of what we do, to the entirety of our worship, to fueling and shaping our worship. Indeed, we will not worship Jesus rightly if we do not know why we are worshiping him. Thankfully, we find the answer to the question of whether Jesus is worthy and why he is worthy in Revelation 5, which happens to be the chapter that the song is based off of. In context of this passage, there is a scroll in the right hand of God the Father, who is sitting on the throne, written on the back and in the front, sealed with seven seals. This scroll represents the God's unfolding plan in all of history, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. It's sealed up so as to indicate that no one knows what's in the mind of God. No one knows what God is doing in the world and where it's all going. I mean, we know this. We look at the world around us. What is God doing in the world? Who can answer that question? Who can unveil the secret things of the Lord? Who is worthy for that job, to not only receive this scroll out of the right hand of God himself, but to actually unloose it and show it to all, to reveal the mysteries of God and what he's doing in the world right now and what he will do in the future? Indeed, no one would be so worthy, have such power, have such ability to do that task. However, there is a recently slain lamb who enters the scene, standing as a lamb who is slain. He is, as the text says, the Messiah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the prophesied root of David, the conquering Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The one is worthy to receive the scroll from the right hand of the Father and to reveal its contents. In other words, through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, he proves himself worthy for the task of receiving the Lord's plan and promises and unveiling them to others. We see later in this passage that Jesus is worthy of worship, to receive honor and blessing forever and ever. But once again, we still come to the question of why. Why is he worthy for this? Why is he worthy to receive the scroll? Why is he worthy to open its seals? Why is he worthy to receive worship? And right in the middle, in verse 9 and 10, John tells us why Jesus is worthy. And he is worthy for six reasons. Six. He was slain. He redeemed a people for God. He redeemed a people by his blood. He redeemed a people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. He made his people a kingdom for God, reigning with him. And he made his people priests for God. So we're going to go through each one of those briefly here. Number one, why is Jesus worthy? He is worthy because he was slain. Verse 9 says, and they sang a new song, worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals. Key word, for. Because, why? First reason, you were slain. When the lamb is introduced in verse 6, it is a reversal of expectations of what John was going to see based on the description in verse 5. Look at verse 5. He says, and one of the elders said, don't weep anymore. Look, it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. This great, mighty lion. This mighty conquering warrior, the one who descended from David, the promised offspring, the King of Kings. Here he is. He's coming in. And John looks, and what he sees is not what he expected. Instead of this picture of might and strength, and glory and power. He sees a lamb as though slain. In God's upside-down kingdom, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The prideful will be humbled and the humbled exalted. The conquering lion is really the slain lamb. And therefore, it is by being slain that Christ conquered and was proven to be worthy. It's through being slain that he is actually the lion of the tribe of Judah. It's through being slain that he is this conquering, victorious warrior king. In Revelation 2:26, Jesus lines up conquering next to keeping his works until the end. To conquer, in other words, is to be obedient to the Lord and to love not your life even unto death, to be completely obedient to the word of God and testimony of Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus himself has conquered by that same means, by being obedient to the Lord, by being obedient to the point of death, Philippians 2 says, even death on a cross, by loving not his life even unto death, for the sake of the testimony of himself. It is through that humbling, Philippians 2 says, that therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. Jesus, through being slain, sets an example for us to follow, Revelation teaches, that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and by faith follow in his stead by giving up our lives for his sake. Through being slain, Christ also conquered and was shown worthy to, because through the slain lamb's death, death and the devil are defeated. So through being slain, he conquers, not only through obedience to the point of death, but through being slain, he conquers because he conquers through his death, death and the devil. As Hebrews 2:14 says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus was completely obedient to the point of death, and through that death, he conquered Satan himself. You know, we honor people. Just yesterday, it was Veterans Day. We honor people who were slain, who give up their own lives for others selflessly. We have a concept for that in our minds. We have Memorial Day, and we have things like this, that we honor those who are killed in action, first responders who lay down their lives for protecting others. How much more honor is due to Jesus who was slain for me and you? How much more as the Son of God, obedient to the point of death? 2, Jesus is worthy because he redeemed a people for God. It says, you redeemed a people for God. Since day one of creation, God has been on mission to create a people for himself. And after Genesis 3, that mission has been to redeem that people first in order to make that people for himself. He has to redeem them from their sin. The whole entire Old Testament attest to the fact that human beings would never be able to redeem themselves from slavery to sin. The law could never do it. Only God himself could do it. And so he did. In Galatians 4:4-5, it states that, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus Christ redeemed, did something that no one else could do, and redeemed, purchased a sinful people for God. You know, it's Christmas season. Sometimes we have those people that we say, you know, that guy has everything. What am I supposed to buy him for Christmas? What am I supposed to get this guy? He has everything he'd ever wants. I mean, that's a very small analogy for God. God is the all-sufficient creator, sustainer of the universe. Who could purchase anything for God? Who could buy him a gift that is worthy of him? Who could do that for God? Answer, only one who is eternally valuable, eternally worthy, indeed eternally God himself, only the God made man, Jesus Christ, who could purchase a people for God. 3, Jesus is worthy because he redeemed a people by his blood, it says. Through being slain, Christ conquered and was proven to be worthy because he himself was a substitutionary sacrificial lamb who took our place to bear our guilt, to bear our sin, to bear the wrath of God for us. And then by his own blood spilled, he is able to forgive the sins of his people once and for all. From Genesis 3 to the Levitical system, the priest system and the tabernacle, God has been showing over and over again that the plan is that the way to take care of sin is by the death of a substitute and by its blood to cover the sins of the people. And in Jesus Christ, we have received redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Only by his perfect blood, the blood of the God-man, can we actually be forgiven of our sin. We can wake up each morning confident that we are at peace with God today because we know that we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. We can look down the barrel of temptation today because we know that we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. We can feel bold in sharing the gospel with others who are completely lost in their sin because we know that their sin, no matter how deep, no matter how bad, can be, by faith and repentance, covered by the blood of the Lamb. How worthy is that Savior who shed that blood to redeem a people for God? Fourth, Jesus is worthy because he redeemed a people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. God has been on mission to redeem a people from every nation ever since he split them up by languages in Genesis 10 and 11. In Genesis 12, God chooses his means through which he would gather this redeemed from all nations through a man named Abraham and his offspring, saying that all the world would be blessed in him. Some of God's people would be redeemed from Israel, but as God says to his servant in Isaiah 49:6, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And in step with Isaiah, Paul clarifies for us that the offspring of Abraham that blesses all nations is not his ethnic seed. It is the singular seed of Jesus Christ. And all who are blessed in him are those who have faith in Jesus. Jesus is able to do the seemingly impossible and redeem God's people from every corner of the earth, every tribe, tongue, and nation. Even the most distant people will be redeemed because of Jesus Christ. As Piper points out, and let the nations be glad, God redeeming a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation means that God will receive praise from a diversity of nations, which is a greater praise than if it only came from one. And that maximal praise is only accomplished through one who is maximally worthy to accomplish that work, and who himself is maximally worthy to be praised, and that is Jesus Christ. Fifth, Jesus is worthy because he made his people a kingdom for God, reigning with him. The kingdom of God is God's people, in God's place, under God's rule. Another way to understand God's kingdom is that it is wherever his people are, because where his people are is where he is, and where he is where the place that they are supposed to be. The original creation, God made his perfect kingdom with his people under his rule, but that rule was lost because of Adam's sin. Humanity goes from ruling and having dominion as God's vice regents to losing it through sin. Humanity goes from kings to sinful paupers. Jesus comes and rules perfectly then. After becoming a victorious king through his death and resurrection, he ascends and shares then that rule with his people. As Revelation 3:21 says, "The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne." Whereas Ephesians 2:6 tells us, we have already in Christ been seated with him in the heavenly places on his throne, even now. We don't merely go back to the original design. When Christ makes us a kingdom again, when Christ makes us vice regents of his own authority, he actually makes us share in his own authority on his own throne. It's far better than what Adam had. He allows sinful paupers to share in his rule as somehow worthy kings. who are completely unworthy of the gift. How worthy is Jesus for doing this work? Finally, Jesus is worthy because he made his people priests for God. Like we mentioned in the sermon on Sunday, Adam and Eve were priests serving and obeying God in his presence. Israel was supposed to have priests and function as a way to communicate God's glory to the world through his word and to lead the people in right worship before God. But after everyone has failed in that, Christ is our perfect high priest who ever intercedes for us, who brings us into his presence, who allows us to come boldly before the throne of grace, and who through us and by his Spirit communicates the word of God all over the earth and spreads the glory of the Lord all over the world as the waters cover the sea. We are a priesthood of believers indeed. Jesus gives us access to God, the knowledge of God, the ability to serve him on earth, causing the knowledge of his glory to cover the earth. The last 5 points about Christ's worthiness all share the consistent theme that Christ has brought fulfillment to all of God's plans and all of God's promises. He has done everything that would be seemingly impossible for anyone else to do. You know, when a person does a job well done with a very difficult task, we consider him worthy of some kind of honor. If a person did a job well done on several very difficult tasks, then we would consider them, you know, worthy of a recognition, of a job, a raise, a promotion, maybe a plaque on the wall, employee of the month. If it's something more worthy of that, we've seen it in history, a statue in Washington, D.C. I mean, the list goes on. My question is, are any of those men able to bring all of God's promises and plans to pass? Are those whom we build monuments for, those of whom it can be said, all of God's promises are yes in him? Who else can accomplish the task of purchasing a people for God, of doing it with his own blood, of calling a people from every nation, of making them a kingdom and priest to God who will reign with him forever? Are not these tasks exceedingly more impossible than anything, any other task there is on earth? How worthy of honor, recognition, power, and blessing the person that did those things must be. How worthy Jesus is. These are the reasons that Jesus is worthy, and I hope that these things are abundantly clear to us. The two questions of application I have is, number one, is the worthiness of Jesus reflected in our worship today? Is it reflected in our worship by what our worship is fueled by? Is the reality of what Jesus has done and who he is and everything that we've seen in Revelation 5 fueling a rejoicing in all that he has done for us? Or are many replacements doing that? A certain kind of music, a certain kind of song, a certain kind of setting. This is why we let the word of God call us to worship, why we let the word of God preached and read surround our times of worship, because it's only the truth of God's word about who God is for us in Christ that will ultimately fuel a genuine worship to him. And if those realities, by the way, hearing those things spoken over you, that he has purchased you, he was slain for you, his blood has given you forgiveness, that he has gathered you from every nation, that he has made you a king with him, that he has made you a priest, that he will make you to reign forever over the earth with him. If that doesn't excite your heart and make you just worship in appreciation because of the fact that you, an unworthy sinner, has been made a king with Jesus, then something is genuinely wrong in your heart. And we need to examine ourselves. Is the worthiness of Jesus reflected in our worship in its content as well? Are our readings or our songs or whatever we are doing in our worship, does it contain language about this worthy Lord in Christ, about why he is worthy, about his shed blood for us, about all these things that we've been talking about? Second, is the worthiness of Jesus reflected in our lives? Another way to ask this is living Christ and dying gain? Do we love not our lives unto death for the sake of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ? What do we sacrifice more for? Because what we sacrifice tells us what we think is worthy. What we sacrifice for tells us what we think is worthy. What do we sacrifice our time for? Bible reading or only our jobs? Prayer or maybe our kids' sports? There's a healthy balance to have here, but I think you understand the point. Sin also tells us what we consider worthy as well. Sin tells us this. Every time we sin, we are saying, you know, Jesus, you are so worthy that to live is Christ and to die is gain, except for this one thing over here. That's just a little bit more worthy of my desires, my affections, my efforts, my worship. This thing over here is more valuable than obeying, treasuring, desiring, and being satisfied in you. It is more worthy than you. Friends, is Jesus worthy? If he is, which he is, since he is, let us reflect it in our worship and in our lives. Is he worthy of all this? He is. Indeed, he is. Let's pray together, and then we'll go to the prayer sheet. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for Jesus, who is worthy of all our worship, of blessing and honor and glory. And we ask that we would do that both in how we speak, how we sing, how we do our worship here at church, how we live our lives as believers. Let us order all of our lives around the King of Kings, who is the most worthy individual who has ever lived and breathed and walked this earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.